This is Fresh Air. The International Committee of the Red Cross is used to operating in war zones, but last May it pulled out its workers from the former Yugoslavia because it had become so dangerous and anarchic. One of their convoys in Sarajevo was attacked after it was a short, safe passage. One worker was killed. Red Cross workers have since returned to many of the areas of fighting. Their primary mission is examining detention centers, evaluating whether they meet the requirements of the Geneva Conventions. They're also providing food, clothing, and medical care, and conveying messages from displaced persons to their families. Earlier today, we called Jette Sorensen, an ICRC spokesperson based in Zagreb, Croatia. The fighting has recently spread to southern Croatia, but Zagreb is in the north. Since July, the ICRC has made several public statements regarding grave human rights violations. I asked her if this type of statement was unusual for the Red Cross, which is politically neutral.
We have spoken up publicly before when there have been very, very serious breaches of international humanitarian law. In this conflict and in this context, we have spoken through the voice of our president even more openly because the violations of the Red Cross are so grave and so serious here. There's absolutely no respect for the Red Cross emblem. And we saw that a little less than 1 year ago when one of our delegates were deliberately killed. Even if the convoy had been cleared with all departures, the convoy was attacked and the delegate died. And this is why, not only to protect our own lives, I mean, our delegates work in war zones and we know the risk that we take, but at least the respect for the emblem.
Why do you think there has been so little respect for the Red Cross and its emblem in the Balkans?
Well, in this part of the world, the Red Cross has not always been as independent and neutral as one could have hoped, which means that for many people, the Red Cross is linked to any authority that are in place. And we come in with our Red Cross, which is the same symbol because we belong to the same movement, and nobody understands that we come in and that we are neutral. The other problem, especially in the beginning of the conflict and even now, that everybody and anybody puts on a Red Cross, even other humanitarian organizations, smaller ONGs and so on, they put the Red Cross on because they think that it protects them. And you have also amongst the partners, they put Red Crosses on their cars when transporting arms or soldiers. And then we come with our cars with no other protection than the Red Cross. And of course, nobody understands, so we become also a target.
From what you were saying, do I understand correctly that in the past, the government has used the Red Cross as a symbol to hide behind?
No, not in that sense, not at all. But, I mean, in many of the national societies in the former Eastern Europe were part of the government. Very often you had the Minister of Health, who was also a president of the National Society. And that meant, of course, that the National Society did not operate as independently as it could. And in the eyes of the general public, the Red Cross, the National Society, was part of the authority. It is not a question that they hit behind it, but it's a question of this understanding that a Red Cross, whether international or national, must be completely independent and neutral.
The United States intelligence agencies have reported that the total number of prisoners on all sides now in the Balkans is about 70,000, which is much higher than the close to 3,000 prisoners that have been registered and visited by the International Committee of the Red Cross. Are you going to try to investigate this new high number?
Well, first of all, let's correct the number. We have had, since the conflict started, we have had access to nearly 12,000 prisoners. Around 4,000 have been liberated under our auspices. I mean, we have transported them from Bosnia outside. Others have been liberated. So we have seen more than 12,000 prisoners. The number of 70,000, we have got the lists, of course, and we are trying to find out to match those lists with our own lists. And we know that we have not seen all the prisoners, but we think that the figure might be too high. We cannot confirm it. We cannot do the country as long as we have not had access to all the places, but we do not think it is as high as 70,000. Already in cross-checking, many of those 70,000 are part of the 12,000 we have seen.
Joining us on the phone from Zagreb, Croatia, is Jette Sorensen, who is a spokesperson for the International Committee of the Red Cross. We'll be right back. This is Fresh Air. Jette Sorensen is with us from Zagreb, Croatia. She's a spokesperson for the International Red Cross. When the Red Cross investigates a detention camp, what does it look for? How does it go about investigating whether the camp is violating international law?
Well, when we visit the camp, of course, we see the prisoners. We talk with them, first of all, to know how they're treated. Do they have enough food? Do they have enough water? Do they have washing facilities? Are they able to go out, in fresh air? It's the same criteria all over the world where we visit. Do they need anything? Do they know where their family is? Do they want us to have this Red Cross message exchange with their families? We go around to see the facilities. How are the toilets? How are the cells? How are the places they are? And without entering now in this particular context, but in general what we do, after having visited, we do a report that is transmitted to the detaining authorities and the political authorities, and we take it to Geneva. We make recommendations what should be changed or what should be improved, and then we go back and check if the things are done, and then we go back again, and we go back again. We are not dealing with the release of a detainee or the why he is in a place. That is not up to us to judge, because we are not a court. But we go back and we bring in whatever relief we can, or we bring with us doctors or medicines, or we ask for a transfer to a hospital and so on. In this particular context, as you know, we have been in the camps of Omaska, of Tjernobylje, or Manjača, where the conditions were very, very, very awful, and we have said that publicly, that those places were not meant for human beings, and that those people should be liberated, which we normally do not say, because we are not. It's not up to us to liberate. We visit them, and if the detaining authority decides to liberate detainees, of course, they go under our auspices to wherever they want to go. But in this particular context, in those camps, in around the Banja Luka area, the conditions were so awful, so we have talked out very, very clearly. We have negotiated with the parties, and they signed that agreement in October to release unconditionally all their prisoners.
What did the Red Cross see at these camps that was so extreme?
Well, there was not enough food, there was not enough water, they had no clothes, they could not wash. The Manjača, it was horse stables. You can imagine 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people in horse stables, not meant for human beings. And we brought in, since we started visiting, lots of clothes and medicines. And when the camp was closed here in December, and many of the detainees that were brought with us to Karlovac in Croatia and handed over to UNHCR, they said they would not physically have survived if we had not given food, clothes, and all that, because they were, otherwise they would have frozen to death or starved.
Have you been on any of the visits to the detention camps?
No, not myself. Because, visiting the prisoners, it's a Swiss delegate, as the ISIS is Swiss, and I'm not Swiss.
You have to be Swiss to visit the detention camps?
Yes, because the ICSC is a private Swiss organization, and the delegates are Swiss. It's not a question of Swiss, it's mononational. But as the ICSC was created and born in Switzerland, the Red Cross is born in Switzerland, and the ICSC is the founding body of the whole Red Cross movement, so it has stayed Swiss, and the ICSC as such is Swiss. The president is Swiss, the governing board are all Swiss, and the people visiting the detention centers are Swiss, because Switzerland is considered a neutral country, which means that the Swiss delegates can go all over the world without any problems, while many other countries you will have political conflicts because the country will not accept your nationality, not because, not as a Red Cross, but because you have a nationality also, while the Swiss delegates are accepted all over the world without any problems.
You were talking before about how the political changes in Eastern Europe have affected the Red Cross, how the Red Cross used to be part of the government in the sense, you know, the Ministry of Health was involved with the Red Cross. Now that the communist governments have fallen and the governments have changed in Eastern Europe, has that made it any more difficult for the Red Cross to function there?
Yes, in many places it has been very difficult because the former Red Cross societies have very often also been dissolved when the government was dissolved. Now new teams are being put into place, which means very often teams with not much experience in the Red Cross. So what we are trying to do now is sending delegates to the former Soviet Union, to all the republics, to Armenia, to Georgia, to explain what the Red Cross is about, to explain what is neutrality, what is independence, to explain how you set up a national society. And, of course, that is not something you can do overnight. It takes time, it takes staff, it takes means, it takes translations of all our publications and so on in the various languages to allow most people to understand. But we are doing that, we cannot see a result overnight, but with a bit of patience, I think things will change. Political changes take time, and it takes time to change the mentality of the people.
The Red Cross has been fired on in Bosnia. It's been fired on in Somalia. Red Cross workers have been killed. Is this something new for the Red Cross? Is there on the whole less respect in different parts of the world for the Red Cross emblem and for Red Cross workers than there's been before?
I don't think we can say that generally. I mean, the people we have had killed, unfortunately, in Somalia, it has been isolated, an isolated criminal act by individuals. I mean, it was not particularly against the Red Cross. It was just somebody killing somebody, because it is also, as you know, an extremely violent war, and where there's no respect of nothing. But it was not against the Red Cross as such, as it was in Sarajevo, where we felt it was a direct attack against our convoy. We have had many security incidents. We have had many delegates and also local Red Cross people killed during the last years. But I think it is more because of the changing nature of the conflicts today, that you have so many uncontrolled elements in most of the conflicts. You have small militia groups that obey to nothing except the law of arms, and they just kill. And I mean, if we are there, and as we are there in many cases, we are a target.
How is Red Cross going to decide if and when it can send workers back into Sarajevo?
Well, we feel now that after, let's say, we have been absent for a long time. We have not been really absent because we have had local staff, ICRC staff, still being in Sarajevo and doing a lot of good tracing work. We have had delegates going in and out. We have not had a permanent mission. I mean, we have not had a permanent office and so on in Sarajevo. And let's say, from our side now, we have decided to go back. We know that there is a risk, but there is a risk all over in this conflict, and there are people that need our help. So I think the choice has been maybe long to come and difficult, but it has been taken that we have to go back to Sarajevo.
So do you know when you will officially send people
back
in?
No, not yet. I mean, there are still some logistical problems and so on, because it's very difficult to get into Sarajevo, because we have no airplanes here. We depend on UNPROFOR, UNHCR flights to get our stuff in and relief in and so on. But I think it will be in the next coming days or weeks.
Jette Sorensen is a spokesperson for the International Red Cross. She spoke to us from Zagreb, Croatia. This is Fresh Air.